And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, we had an announcement this week about the unemployment rate and the number of unemployed in the United States in the month of April. And once again, Donald Trump, who in a certain sense should be known as Dr. Death, Donald Death, has brought America back to a period of greatness. In this case, he's approached the Great Depression. It turns out that if you add it all up, in the month of April, we ended up with 43-plus million Americans thrown out of work or not able to work full-time when they want to. That's a hell of a record. We haven't had a record like that in the history of the country. In fact, in the whole history of capitalism, there has never been a period in any country where so many people lost their jobs so quickly as Trump managed to do with his failed leadership in the last 4 months. So I think that deserves marking and, and applause for something.
Well, I hardly think of applause, but, you know, they're getting so desperate in the White House that one of his sons said that the new motto is Make America Great Again, again. you know, they keep doubling down on policies. And of course, I've talked endlessly about the use of the word failure in conjunction with Donald Trump. You know, he proved his failure as a private businessman. The New York Times did that piece a year or so ago, which said that he had lost more money as a businessman than any other businessman in history. And now he's taken that level of failure, expertise in failure, to the White House. And the consequence is just what you're saying. Now, the official number for April was 14.7%, but even his own advisors, Kevin Hassett, who used to be the head of the Council of Economic Advisors and now has been brought back in some other role that he isn't qualified to do, said that April's numbers are going to be better than May's and June's. In other words, it's going to get worse before it gets better, mainly because the way things have been handled, these only count the people who have applied for unemployment compensation or getting unemployment compensation, rather, and places like Florida, which also has an incompetent leader, a Trumpian leader, they can't process the claims properly, and they can't process them quick enough so that the numbers are being artificially held down, the official numbers are being held down. But as you said, you have to count in the people who have been unemployed that aren't, you know, that weren't officially on the books, and the people that are underemployed, whose jobs have been cut back drastically and things like that. And what we're seeing are things that, as you said, we haven't seen since the Great Depression. You know, the famous pictures from the Great Depression are people in soup lines, men in trench coats and fedora hats, bundled up against the cold, and these big pots of soup being ladled out to them. And in America today, what you see are people in automobiles lined up for blocks and blocks and blocks in line to get food packages at churches and at other parking lots and places where the authorities can put stuff together for them because they have had no money to eat. Congress has tried to pass legislation in order to get money, but to use a phrase, it hasn't fully trickled down to the people that need it. The first group went to the banks, and the banks took care of their big customers.
And paid themselves with big fees.
Yes, yeah. You know, you always take it off the top first for yourself.
Right.
And of course, what the Democrats wanted to do was put in oversight and have people seeing how this money was being spent. And Trump, when he signed the bill, said, I'm going to get rid of the oversight. And So we still don't know the extent to which things have failed, but we do know that they failed. And finally, they're hoping to get stuff down through the Small Business Administration to the small employers to try to keep people on the rolls. But these employers are just trying to, using this money first and foremost, just to pay their current bills and their rent and for overhead and things besides labor. So not everybody is getting the money.
The program is for. The program wasn't intended for them to pay their overhead. It was intended for them to pay their payroll, which they're not doing.
Right. In many instances, that's correct. They're not paying their payroll. And, of course, the counterargument is when this thing is over, if I haven't taken care of my overhead and kept my business alive, there's not going to be a job anyway because I'm going to be out of business. But if you pay the workers, then you have that source of demand that they can start spending money at places that are opening up and start doing things that will keep businesses going.
By the way, that complaint, if I can't pay my bills, I'll be out of business. This is and therefore we have to end the shutdowns. We have to end the sequestration, the social isolation. We have to, immediately go back to what was considered normal. That's a false choice. That's a false way of looking at the issue. It isn't one or the other. It's one or the other here in this country at this moment because of the failure of the Trump administration to provide adequately for testing, something they refused to do in the past. They didn't do it when they could have in January, in February, in March. They didn't do it, and they refused to do it now. They say they're doing it now. Jared Kushner is allegedly responsible for it, but he won't say where the supplies are going. Nobody knows where the supplies are going. But the point is, with testing, you can know how to work in a localized way, open this up, don't open that up, give these people the opportunity to do one thing and other people don't have it because they'll get very sick and there'll be a lot of deaths. Testing is what's required. Testing is to fighting this epidemic the way guns and bullets are to fighting a war. Without guns and bullets, the infantry can't fight. And without the infantry, you can't fight a war. Without testing, you can't beat the virus. You don't know how to, you have no way to deploy the society. You don't want to test. It's like telling the army, fight a war without ammunition. That's where Trump has led the country. That's misleadership. The false choice is there because of the consequences of that misleadership. You still have to do the testing. And without it, we're going to have this problem no matter what they do. What will happen is we'll have many more avoidable deaths. One student of this matter said, of the 75,000 people who died, it's easy to see that at least 35,000 wouldn't have died had there been adequate testing. 35,000 is 10 September 11th.
Yeah, right? More than 10. Yeah, 11 or 12.
Right? Yeah. At least that can be blamed directly on Kushner and Trump and their whole gang of cohorts.
Well, you used a word, and the word was leadership. And, we've had in the past, we've had people who have had of different political stripes, whatever, but they've picked people or they've had the skills of leadership and management of crises. And here we don't. I'm thinking after World War One, Herbert Hoover, who later failed as president, but he went to Europe and he marshaled the forces to help feed Europe, saved maybe more lives than anybody in the 20th century.
But Hoover is a good example because of exactly when you read a prospectus, it says past results are no predictor of future results. Hoover,
right.
Hoover did a job in 1920, but he didn't do a job in 1930.
Right, right. His skills were in a different area. His skills were in a different area. You think about after World War II, the Marshall Plan, where they figured out how to keep Europe alive and also how to keep democracy alive, the Berlin airlift, how they worked the logistics. You think of industrialists in World War II who came to the government, like Henry Kaiser, and figured out how to do, and knew how to do things and carry things off. And it didn't matter whether they were Republicans or Democrats. FDR's Secretary of War was a Republican. But they knew that they needed to work together and to work with the highest skilled people. Here we have what's a term that's become more well-known, kakistocracy, where the government is being run by the least qualified people to do so. And we've seen this happen. We saw this happening year one, year two, one and two and three, when you saw qualified people leaving the government or qualified people not willing to join this government, this leadership team of Donald Trump, because they didn't want to be sullied by it. And he had the B team and the C team in places, and unqualified people, and operating with acting secretaries because he couldn't appoint anybody worthwhile to the regular positions that they wouldn't get through the U.S. Senate on confirmation, or he didn't want them because they would not kowtow to his whims and his wishes. So now we have, as you said, the worst of possible of worlds, and it continues to go on and on and on. And the one thing you hear, we talk about the small businesses not doing things. We talk about the big businesses, gobbling up the money in the first tranche from the banks and what have you. But there are some big business people who have a broader point of view, and they agree with you. They say we need testing, that just because we're going to be able to open up our business doesn't mean people are going to come. People are afraid. They're not going to return in droves, as Trump is predicting. They're not going to come all at once. They're going to maybe trickle back. But if we get a second wave of disease in the fall, second wave of the virus, these business people know that it's going to be a disaster, it will more than double down on the effects that we have now.
But the point also is that if they don't do the testing, you're not going to know whether there's a second wave.
Right.
You're not going to know anything. Not testing, well, not looking, not asking questions is a wonderful way to rule if you don't want to do anything to solve a problem, right?
Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. Except in Trump, I'll tell you lies anyway.
Well, he has to tell you lies because everybody knows 75,000 people died. So he has to deny that 75,000 people died. That's right. What he's doing. He and his group have started last week, aggressively rewriting the actual history that we just are living in.
Right. Yeah. And we know that that number, 75,000, it's getting closer to 80,000 as we speak, actually is a lowball figure, because there are people who have died, and as you said, because they haven't had a test. Because they haven't had a test, they weren't even counted in this. The Trump people are trying to say, well, people had comorbidities, so it was really their diabetes that killed them, their underlying disease, their heart disease, and this or that that killed them, and they're trying to play with that. They can't deny that these people are in coffins being piled up in storage facilities or in mass graves in places. But, the fact is that they're going to continue to try. We used to have a saying in law, when the law is against you, argue the facts. When the facts are against you, argue the law. And if both of them are against you, just argue, just keep shouting. They just keep trying to divert our attention with other things. Their problem is that the people, the families that are being affected, are in fact, they know what the score is, and they can't get around that. And
a man falls off a building.
Yeah.
He falls to the ground. He dies. What killed him? The Trump people will say, well, what killed him was the impact with the ground. But is that what killed him, or falling off the building is what killed him? Anybody who's reasonable will say, well, if he didn't fall off the building, he wouldn't hit the ground, right?
I'm reminded of the thing that, you know, the gangster died of natural causes. His heart stopped when the bullet pierced him.
It's exactly the point. Right. You got it. That's Trump's argument. Trump is always instinctively reaches for the John Gotti.
There's always
a way of talking and thinking. That's the way they think.
Right. There's always always blame somebody else. And the fact that you contradict things doesn't pay us no mind. We'll say something else that's contradictory tomorrow. You know, the doctors take a Hippocratic oath. People around Trump take a hypocritic oath.
That's right.
They continue to say things out of both sides of their mouth. They say one thing today, one thing the next day, and they deny that they've ever said the first thing.
And that's what's happening. That is the Trump reelection campaign. That is it, in a nutshell. Just given the whole strategy of Trump's reelection campaign. Lie about what happened. Make it up. Deny. Say what you wanted to happen is what actually did happen. And say, do you believe your eyes or do you believe what I tell you? You better believe what I tell you, because I'm the only honest guy, because everybody else who's showing you things is lying to you.
We need to go just beyond that. You're right on that. But there are actually people that are willing to buy into this. And people, not just, country yokels or whatever. There are educated people. There are people who should know better, and they're just willing to go along with this for various reasons. The number one group that does this, of course, is the Republicans in the U.S. Senate and in the House. In the House, it's not as bad because they don't have control, but in the Senate, they do. And you keep getting these folks, the Ted Cruz's, the Lindsey Graham's, and all these folks who, particularly Mitch McConnell, who are going along with this and empowering this and have shirked what is supposed to be their constitutional duty to act as a check and a balance, and instead have just caved to this and have in some ways have magnified this. I mean, you keep hearing reports in the press that behind the scenes, these folks say they can't believe what's happening and they can't stand Trump. But none of them has any or any profiles in courage. None of them. None of them.
Just like the old line conservatives in Nazi Germany. Yeah. We can make an agreement with the Nazis because, after all, they're vulgar. They'll never get away with what they're doing, and we can always control them. And guess what? They didn't want to control them. Not only couldn't they control them, they didn't want to control them. The Nazis made them wealthy beyond their imagination, made them secure beyond their imagination, at least for a few years. They bought them off. That's right.
And that's what Trump is trying to do with even the small business people. You hear it, folks up in your county, folks down here. You know, I'm a businessman, and I never had it so good as I had it under Trump. And this thing is, it's just all, they're trying to ruin him. And by osmosis, they're trying to ruin me because he really knew how to get me more money. Never mind that, in fact, what he was doing was destroying all the underpinnings and all the foundation of the things that are really necessary for people to be successful.
Yes, and the fact is the country, the inequality in the country, the social inequality is at an all-time high. It was never worse.
They don't care about that
because they're on the good side of the inequality. They got it coming to them.
Right. They see this as, well, blacks and Hispanics in the big cities, and I'm out here in the middle of Iowa, in the middle of the Susquehanna County or Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania. It's not me. It's them. They deserve it, or if they don't deserve it, that the fact that it's happening to them disproportionately, that's just too bad for them.
And the Trump people have a reasoned explanation for this. In Trump's own words, there are winners and there are losers. And losers are subhuman. They deserve what they get. They can't help it. They deserve what they get. They're losers.
Right.
But they're not real humans. We're the winners. We're the real humans.
William. Frank, I think it was Frank Bruni, had that column this week in the New York Times that went into some of that. That the real people are are whites, and the history of slavery and things like that. That as you said, winners are white people, and losers are other people.
You don't have to be white. You don't have to be white. Italians are white. They were losers.
Yeah,
100 years ago, Jews are white. Well, they were losers for many years.
Well, but under their philosophy, they're not really white. They're not really our
kind. Right. They're not our kind of white.
Yeah, there was. I'm trying to think of what the phrase was. Rachel Maddow showed it on Friday night that there was an argument in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin over some case, and it was one of these video conferencing ones. And the Supreme Court justice, the Chief Justice, they have a 4-3 majority there. And she used the term real people or something like that, as if, in terms of benefits, it's like the people who are, as you said, losers aren't real people.
Well, that's exactly the ideology that we are. This week celebrated the 75th anniversary of beating. 75 right. years ago, World War II in Europe ended with the Nazi defeat. What you've just described is the Nazi ideology. That's what we beat. Now it's running the presidency and many governorships. Some celebration of the 75th anniversary.
Yeah, the parallels of history are, history is running. We always thought history ran forward, and in some ways it's running backwards. When we've had these echoes of the Nazism since the Trump campaign began, with America First and the mass rallies and the cult-like adherence to what he said, and the symbolism, the use of the Confederate flags, and the more extreme right wing, the Hail Trump type of things.
Well, how about the woman who stood on the Lansing, on the steps of the state capitol in Michigan in Lansing 2 weeks ago with a poster, Arbeit macht frei, the slogan that emblazoned the entrance to the Buchenwald and the Auschwitz concentration camps.
Yeah, that was Illinois. And she even included the first two initials of the Jewish governor on there. For J.B. Pritzker. That's the way these folks see it. And as you've pointed out, this is shades of Margaret Thatcherism, where she said there is no society. It's just individuals. Ayn Randism, if you want to have it. It's not us. It's only I.
That in Pennsylvania, where several counties this last week in Pennsylvania, the Republican county commissioners issued statements saying they challenged Governor Wolf's right to issue the edicts about closing down industries, social distancing, wearing masks. It's not his right to do that. The law says it is his right. But it's not his right to do that because those things, said the DA of Dauphin County, I think it's Dauphin County, those things are taking away our individual liberties, our individual rights, and we're not going to allow it. And I, she said, as the DA, am not going to enforce it. Well, what she's
That's
talking about is the right not to have any social responsibility, the right to oppress my neighbor. That's not a right.
Or to infect your neighbor.
You don't have the right to infect your neighbor. That's not what freedom is. You don't have the freedom to enslave other people.
Right. You don't have the right to. You have the right to smoke, but you don't have the right to blow smoke in your neighbor's lungs.
Right.
But these folks don't see it that way. It's a breakdown of societal norms, it's continuing. We've seen this, over in all sorts of other states. The same types of arguments that are happening, and there may be no better example of this breakdown than what happened this week with Bill Barr and his a decision not to prosecute any further Michael Flynn. We talked about the fact that Congress is supposed to be a check and balance. The justice system, the courts are supposed to be a check and balance. And here we have a guy who proved to be, I guess what some would say, a traitor to his country. He was in line and actually was appointed to be the national security advisor. And they found out that he had lied to the FBI, lied to Vice President Pence, was trying to work secret deals with the Turkish government to kidnap a resident of Pennsylvania, a legal alien out of the country. To face injustice in Turkey, and who pled twice as being guilty of these lies, and was fired for lying to the vice president. And now Bill Barr comes along and says, we're not going to prosecute that. There's no real crime here. And, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We're pretty sure that Donald Trump was going to pardon him anyway. That, Michael Flynn was really quick to say, lock her up, Hillary Clinton. And it's always lock her up. But when he had the prospect of being locked up and did actual crimes, you saw him squealing and weaseling and whatever he did. The judge wasn't letting him get away with that. The judge was going to sentence him probably beyond what the prosecutors, or at least to the max of what the prosecutors were going to do. But in this case, it's going to be interesting because the way that the Justice Department, the so-called Justice Department of Bill Barr, has framed this is the judge has to sign off on it. And the judge may or may not sign off on it. The judge may conduct a further inquiry, may call Bill Barr into court and grill Bill Barr on this thing. And even if the judge decides to go along with it, the judge could do so without prejudice, which would mean that a future Justice Department could reinstate the charges if the statute hasn't already run. And there are other charges that he could have been charged with. Remember, this was a plea bargain. And you want to ask the people who are thinking this is Flynn is a great hero, whether he was lying when he said when he talked to the FBI, or whether he was lying under oath when he told the court that he'd lied. He's committed lies all the way around. Bill Clinton deserved to be impeached for lying about an affair he had, but lying about national security or lying to the FBI in a criminal investigation, they're giving a pass on. And,
but you started out the show today by saying, talking about the oath they take, the hypocritic oath. And this is exactly an example of it. The law doesn't apply to me. It applies to you.
Yeah. And you talked about some of the other things. And Bill Barr, of course, gave an interview and he said, the winners write the history. And of course,
and we won. He went on. He didn't finish this. And we won.
Yeah, well, actually what he's doing is trying to rewrite the history. We'll see how far he gets away with this at some point. Mike Flynn is probably going to wind up getting off on this, but the way history treats this is going to be something else.
Well, we got to see what the Democrats are going to say about all this. So far, we haven't heard a lot.
Yeah, there's going to be some interesting Supreme Court arguments this week about the Electoral College. We're going to be following, and interestingly enough, they're being broadcast live on C-SPAN, verbally, not visually. And Clarence Thomas is actually speaking. We don't know why, but he's been asking questions.
Good for the country or bad for the country?
Well, it's the decisions that are usually bad for the country, but just to hear him speak, we'll have to see.
We got a lot coming up next week. We're done with this week. Unfortunately, we have no more time. We could talk another half hour.
Well, we just have enough time to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Even though the weather's more like Valentine's Day.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City. 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.